Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of building blocks, we were on page 11, in the middle of number 1.
It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble.
I will plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
You may feel responsible after having witnessed to your own children or having reared them in church and reared them with a moral instruction. If they turn from these teachings, the devil will try to make you think, hey, it is your fault. If you had been what you ought to be, they wouldn't have turned. Obviously, you made a mistake in rearing them. Well, see, you must understand the doctrine of free will applies to children. Some people say, well, the Bible says you train them up in the way they should go. They'll never depart from it. And by using that kind of a thought, they've said, well, they may depart, but they'll come back before they die. Others said, no, they'll never depart. Some say, well, they'll never depart except for just a little bit, and they'll have to come right back. That's not what it means there in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. When he says, when they're old, the word old there, actually in the Hebrew, has the meaning of hair on the chin. You're like a teenager. And it's the idea when they are old, they will not depart from it. It means you reared them in the Word of God. You've reared them in the things of God. It'll always be there as a prick to their conscience. They'll always have conviction, which means that's a great thing, because even though they have a free will and they can rebel most of their life, there's always a chance they get saved, because that will not depart from them. And that's the idea that verse there in Proverbs 22:6, and so many churches, they've had the preacher stand up and say, well, if your child went bad, then evidently you messed up in the way you raised them. And they're doing that because they think they're protecting God. Well, God doesn't have to be protected. Okay. His word is truth. They just didn't understand the word rightly. So again, the devil wants to make you a defeated person and make you think that you were at fault, because you can't have the joy of the Lord that way. So if we teach them rightly, and especially the way of salvation, we are certain that God's Holy Spirit will bring that to their mind. There's always hope. Now praise the Lord for free will, so we never lose hope in this flesh. In Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 1, we find a very interesting passage there, and it's one of my favorite passages, I think. But there it says, in Isaiah 55:1, he says, ho, everyone that thirsts. Everyone that thirsts. Remember that girl I just told you about in the illustration? And there's one that was thirsty. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, by the way, that wine is not alcoholic there. He's talking about grape juice. But without price. Why? Because salvation is without you paying a price. Jesus paid it all, my friend. That's why he says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And it's important that you learn of him. You learn that through the word of God. For I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Well, that's the kind of Savior we have. He said in John 6:37, him that come to me, I'll in no wise cast out. He said in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that great? Shall be saved. And so the Lord will save, and he wants to save. Again, we must never forget that man must repent. Remember Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the Lord. Repent is to turn from. To convert is to give yourself to. You're turning from sin. You're turning to Jesus Christ. Let's think of a person that has an adulterous relationship, and then they get right with God. They turn from that adultery. They turn to God, but they also turn from that relationship back to their spouse, to a right relationship with a commitment. It's with a committed love. So repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the Lord. Acts 3:19. See, the work of saving us was accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ via his death, burial, and resurrection. So, if you go back to chapter 1, you'll see the security of this salvation. And that's also a Bible doctrine. Because the Lord says in John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, that no man can pluck you out of his hand. And so, my friend, once you're in Christ, you are his forever. It's not you keeping it. He keeps you. Once you've received him by a free will, he keeps you. Now, we also believe, number 2, on page 11 of our Building Blocks booklet, we believe that a New Testament church is a congregation of believers associated together by a covenant of faith and fellowship. Again, now this is Bible doctrines that we're looking at of eternal truth. The membership of the church is based on the salvation of the individual with baptism following. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 it says, and when they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayer. Then down verse 47 of Acts 2, he says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So they got saved, they got baptized after their salvation, and they were added to the church. Now, there are some people who believe that you can lose your salvation, that you have to get saved all over again, but for some reason or other, they don't believe you have to be baptized again. I've never understood why they thought that the water here on earth that you baptize them in that is corruptible has more power than the blood of Jesus Christ that's incorruptible. That baptism has a greater power to keep, so it doesn't have to be redone, but the blood of Jesus Christ can't handle it. I guess they might think that they're saved from their sin up till the time of their salvation, but sin after their salvation, then they're not saved because they lost it, because it's sinned after. That also says they measure sin. By that I mean they say, well, adultery, murder, thievery, or whatever. Now, that's terrible sin, so the guy loses salvation for that. But, you know, cuss word, a dirty thought, or this or that. Nah, I'm not. No, my friend. Sin is sin in God's sight. For the wages of sin. He didn't say for the wages of a big sin. He didn't say for the wages of a specific kind of sin. He said for the wages of sin is death. That is final, complete separation from God forever in the lake of fire. So, my friend, we'd have to get saved several times a day, every day the rest of our life, if just one sin would take us from being saved. Now, again, as we're looking at this, we're seeing that local church is a membership of those who've been saved and baptized after their salvation. The church has two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. The local church has Jesus Christ as its head. Actually, Jesus Christ is the one that founded the local church. It's his beginning. He is its head. He is its founder. God has ordained leadership for the local church. The pastor, who is the under-shepherd of God's flock, he is responsible for final decisions within the realm of spiritual practice. But again, he's to be guided by the Word of God in those decisions, not his own new things that he wants to do, but it has to be all according to the Word of God. Deacons are also officers of the local church. They are to look after the financial matters of widows and other things of benevolence. Now, you may read of those offices in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, where the apostles were being dragged away just about from the study of God's word and the preaching of it in prayer, that they might serve tables, make sure that everybody's getting served, make sure everybody's getting their food, making sure everything's for. They needed deacons to do that so that men of God give themselves to the word and prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, tells of requirements for both deacons and pastors, and it's very important that they follow them. But it's also highly important that we understand 2 Timothy 3, 16 through chapter 4, verse 5, that it is showing us in that passage the importance of the people going by the word of God, where the pastor, now that's really addressed to a pastor, and I believe that's to all pastors. Remember, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's interesting. Doctrine is first, then for reproof, for correction. You say, what's the difference between reproof and correction? Reproof convicts us of sin. Correction, we straighten it out. Straightens out our life, tells us which direction to go. For instruction in righteousness. Righteousness is obedience to God. So instructing on how to obey God. So, again, we obey God in holiness and righteousness. For everything, according to Psalms 145 through 17 of God, is always in righteousness and true holiness. So, again, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so the word of God is to furnish us, to equip us, to serve him, and to do it rightly. And then in the very next verse, chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I charge thee before man and before God. Now, that is, to me, that's serious stuff. I don't know about you, but to me, that is very serious stuff. He says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
It's true. We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands.